Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
When you look at a piece of furniture and see the beautiful graining in the wood, you are aware that the variation of the graining is simply the polished surface of the whole. It is only the exterior that you are seeing. Now, when it comes to God, His essential attributes or characteristics are somewhat like the grain of a beautiful piece of wood with its intertwined veins. They blend together and glow with a deep radiance and beauty. When it comes to seeing God, we only see a very, very tiny part. Yet, because we are human and strive to understand God in terms of human relationships and behavior, we talk about His qualities. We call them attributes. For example, we say, God is faithful, or God is just, or all-powerful, and so forth. But no attribute, with the possible exception of the faithfulness of God, speaks more to my heart personally than does the goodness of God, undeserving as I am. Now, it isn't that I question the fact that God is good. It is simply that I am confounded as to why I should be the recipient of this goodness. I am the problem, not the gracious and kind Father. Goodness is one of the attributes or characteristics of God. What tells us this? Nature? No, nature tells us of God's power, not His goodness. Does science tell us that God is good? Again, the answer is negative. But what about history? Here you find the testimonies of men and women who have tasted of the goodness of God. In times of difficulty, they turned to God and God met them. But it is primarily the Bible that answers the question, what is God like? And in simple but strong terms, the men who penned this grand old book contend that God is good, period, and without qualification. Over 100 times, God's goodness is cited in the Bible. As Nahum the prophet cried out, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him." Goodness, yes, as opposed to badness or evil, stems from the very essence of God. This is not a syrupy, weak sentimentality, but a strong reflection of purity and kindness, which should never be taken or considered to be weakness. A study of comparative religions quickly points out that goodness is only associated with His great God who created our world, then sent His Son to show us the way back to heaven. Pagan deities are thought of as angry gods who must be appeased, not as a loving God whose goodness touches the lives of His children. Paul contrasted the goodness and the severity of God. Goodness towards those who trust Him, severity toward the wicked. It's at this point that a lot of people get hung up. They want a God who is a kind of Santa Claus, a source of good gifts and blessings, and certainly the great paramedic of the universe who saves us from our own blunders, but when they see both goodness and severity, they can't handle it. When we stop and think of what God has done, we are quickly reminded that this great and good God has touched our lives for the better. So how do we respond? In some cases, by grasping for more, not satisfied with what we have. But the response of the grateful person is only thanksgiving and gratitude. Long ago, the psalmist cried out, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Yes, friend, let's learn to thank Him for His goodness.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.